Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's David Smith.
Welcome to yet another edition of Illinois Family Spotlight. I am your host, Dave Smith. Well, today I want to introduce a recording from a recent prayer gathering that Illinois Family Institute, State Senator Chris Balkema from the Pontiac area, and the Illinois Prayer Caucus hosted near the Capitol in Springfield. Pastors and Christians gathered on this day to seek God's face, pray for our leaders and our families, and ask for His forgiveness, mercy, healing, and yes, for a revival in our state and nation. We're in a spiritual battle. Families are under attack. Truth is under attack. Children are under attack. The answer is not apathy, but prayer, repentance, and faithful action. America's deepest problems are not merely political or cultural. They are ultimately spiritual. Our calling remains clear, to turn hearts back to God through faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot expect national renewal without personal repentance and a renewed commitment to live according to God's word and by the power of His Holy Spirit. And, you know, far too often Christians neglect the incredible privilege we have of praying to our Father. It's powerful. And if we truly believe that we're engaged in spiritual warfare, and we are, and that battle, by the way, is intensifying week by week, month by month, then we must cry out to our Heavenly Father with humility, faith, and perseverance. In our own strength, we can do nothing good, but our God is able. He is the God of the impossible, and the Holy Spirit will certainly help us if we pray and act according to His will. As 1 John 4:4 reminds us, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Praise God.
Corporate prayer is an important part of the life of the church, along with the preaching and the teaching of God's word, the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and fellowship. Fellowship is important. It's all worship. The early church met regularly to learn the doctrines of the apostles, to break bread, and to pray together. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 42. In Matthew 6, we read that Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. It's interesting to note in this prayer that Jesus assumed that they and we would pray corporately together as He instructs us to pray, give us our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debtors, who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Today we gather for corporate prayer because we recognize that we're in the midst of a tremendous spiritual battle. Dr. Del Tackett calls it a cosmic battle between good and evil. Now, we have been blessed in this nation. We have so much to be grateful for. We live in the most amazing country in the world, endowed with a gift from God, self-government. And we enjoy a standard of living that even the wealthiest kings and queens of the past could have never imagined. Yet, we must humbly admit that many of our freedoms that have been entrusted to us are being twisted towards selfish ends. Our culture is drowning in confusion, deception, and counterfeit truth claims. Liberty is increasingly being turned into licentiousness. There it is. That's the word. The prophet Malachi warned the people of Judah, the priests, and the Israelites, saying this: if you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already because you are not taking it to heart. Can you see that's happening here in America right now? We have been blessed like no other nation on the face of the earth, yet many have turned their backs on God and live solely by their carnal desires, immorality and vile behavior has become commonplace. There is an increase in child sacrifice, known as abortion, an increase in the use of porn and drugs, more arrogance, more pride, more hatred, in short, an utter disregard of God. We have set aside and replaced him with idols, enjoying the blessings that have come to us thanks to the faithfulness of previous generations. 2 Chronicles 7:14, you probably all know it very well. It's a powerful template on how we should respond. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. In this verse, God tells us people to humble themselves, to pray, to seek him, to repent from sin. God then tells his people that he will hear, forgive, and heal their land. But it all starts with humility, doesn't it?
It does.
James 4:10 says, "Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you." Isaiah 66:2 says that God will look on him who is humble and contrite of spirit. Micah 6:8 tells us that the Lord requires that we walk humbly with our God. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, we are told to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. Our state and nation needs us, Christians, to intercede in prayer to ask Almighty God for his mercy. We should ask God's healing hand on our nation and even pray for revival. Not for our own comforts, not for political advantage or other selfish reasons, but for his glory. Our prayers must be focused not only on personal repentance, but we also acknowledge our culture's rebellion against God, as Nehemiah did when he confessed his sins and the sins of his people. God's word tells us that fervent prayer avails much. Add to that John chapter 5, verse 14, which reminds us, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ," anything according to his will," it's kind of an important part, "according to his will, he hears us." So in Nehemiah chapter 9, we have a major prayer of national confession. If you have not read it in a while, I suggest you go home and read it. It's very powerful. I'm going to take the liberty of using it as a template for us now as we turn to prayer. But I'm going to give credit to Nehemiah, and I'm going to use it for us now. Okay, would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, our great, mighty, and awesome God, you alone are Lord. You made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. You give life to all things, and every nation rises and falls under your sovereign authority. Blessed be your glorious name, exalted above every other name. Lord, we acknowledge your kindness towards our nation. You have poured out extraordinary blessings on the United States for 250 years now. You granted us freedom few nations have ever known. You gave us religious liberty, abundance, prosperity, opportunities, Bibles, missionaries, and generations who openly proclaimed your truth. You have protected us in times of war, sustained us through hardship, and allowed us blessings we did not earn and scarcely appreciated. Like Israel of old, we have lived in comfort and reveled in your goodness. Yet in our prosperity, we have often forgotten you, the giver of every good gift. Today, we confess our sins before you, not merely the sins of others, but our own. We confess that we, your people, have grown complacent, apathetic, prayerless, distracted, and silent. We have desired comfort over conviction and acceptance over faithfulness. As a nation, we have increasingly cast your truth behind our backs. We have called evil good and good evil. We have celebrated what you condemn and mocked what you have established. We have neglected the sanctity of human life, dishonored marriage and family, confused what you created as male and female, embraced intoxication and substance abuse, elevated self above truth, and sought human wisdom while rejecting your instruction. We confess our pride, our greed, our selfishness, and our rebellion. We confess the bloodshed of the innocent. Lord, forgive us. The corruption of justice, it runs rampant here. In the many ways we have turned away from your law, we confess that too often our leaders pursue power without righteousness, and too often your people have failed to be salt and light. Yet you are a patient God of forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Lord, your patience is amazing. Again and again, you have shown us mercy through Christ and by your Spirit, though we have earned your righteous wrath. Lord, we acknowledge that you alone are righteous. David said, all my righteousness are like filthy rags compared to you. You alone are three times holy. That's what the angel said. Holy, holy, holy are you. You have dealt faithfully with us, but we have acted wickedly. If hardship, division, confusion, and distress have come upon us, we dare not merely point the fingers outward. Lord, we're not going to do that. Judgment begins with us in the household of God. Therefore, we ask you to forgive our national sins and to begin a revival in us. Father, please awaken your church. Stir pastors to preach truth boldly. Rise up, raise up courageous men and women who fear God more than man. Strengthen parents and grandparents to disciple their children in the faith. Grant wisdom and conviction to lawmakers and public servants. Give them discernment, Father. Grant them wisdom. Grant us wisdom. Grant us all wisdom and conviction. Turn our hearts back towards your truth and your ways. And Father, use us, our churches, our organizations as instruments of truth, faithfulness, and courage for your glory. It's all about you, your glory. Help us to remain humble, steadfast, and obedient to your perfect will. Help us to trust and obey, as the song says. Today, we renew our commitment before you. By your grace, may we not simply lament the darkness, but faithfully stand for righteousness in this generation. Help us, God, please, to be faithful in pointing others to you and to your word. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Forgive us, restore us, revive us. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We're going to take a short break now, but when we return, we will continue with additional prayers from Illinois pastors and Christian leaders.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, illinoisfamily.org update.
Illinois Family Institute has officially partnered with the Greater Than Campaign in their mission to overturn the devastating Obergefell decision. When Obergefell was passed, it was thought as this big win for adult equality. After all, don't homosexual couples just want the same tax breaks and legal rights as heterosexual couples? But what Obergefell also did was it opened the door for not only marriage to be rewritten and perverted, but also for parenthood to be redefined entirely. But moms and dads are not optional. They are not interchangeable. And every measurable marker proves that children need their mom and their dad. For the last decade, children have been stripped of their fundamental human right to their mother and their father. But enough is enough. The rights of children are more important than the desires of adults. Stand with the movement to overturn Obergefell. Go to greaterthancampaign.com to join.
Welcome back to the second half of today's podcast, in which we are featuring content from our recent prayer gathering in Springfield. Let's pick it up now where we left off.
Okay, I'm supposed to introduce more people who are going to pray. Reverend Bob VandenBosch has served since 1993 as a missionary and advocate for Illinois Christians, working to protect religious liberty and traditional values. He founded and leads Concerned Christian Ministries, educating churches and citizens on cultural and public policy issues affecting families and faith communities across Illinois. Pastor Bob.
All right, it's great to see all of you, at least what I can see. The lights are shining in my eyes, and so, you know, it'd probably be better if it was shining the other way so I could see you rather than you seeing me. But anyway, it's great. I'm grateful to be here with you, and God is so good to us.
Amen.
I've been doing this for 33 years now. It's hard to believe. Because I'm so young yet. I haven't aged a bit. I used to run, get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and run 3 miles. And then by 7 o'clock in the morning, I'd be here at the Capitol. And people ask me, what do you do now? I said, well, I take the elevator because I believe in energy conservation. But that's not really what I wanted to come here and talk about today. And I want to start out with a little story about a man who was in the hospital, and he was being treated for heart problems, and the nurse came in and plumped up his pills and everything, and she said, you look really worried. What's the problem? He said, I just read a story about a guy who was being treated for heart disease, and he died of something else. He said, sir, don't you worry about it. At this hospital, if we're treating you for heart disease, you'll die from heart disease. So anyway, I want to talk to you a little bit about our heart condition. My predecessor was Reverend Norman Schneller. He actually started lobbying back in 1980 already. And I'm grateful for him. And, you know, when I came in and started lobbying in 1993, I lobbied with him for 7 days. And he went to Florida and came back with leukemia. And that was my training. I had a crash course, and I had legislators that would prompt me and say, okay, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to, and I'd go to them and say, what do I need to do next? But I remember one of the last days that I was with him, we were walking through the Senate and the Senate offices, and he turned to me and he said, Bob, he said, if you're ever going to be effective here, you're going to have to learn to love the legislators. And honestly, there are some that you have to pray for a lot more than others before you can love them. And all of you have experienced people and met people like that in your life. But the real thing is, we have to have a condition in our hearts where we love the Lord and seek the Lord with our whole heart. And the reality of it comes down to this, because if that happens, then we're going to be sensitive to what God wants. I was listening to another man preach. He was preaching from Acts chapter 17, verse 16, and he talked about Paul who was waiting in Athens for Timothy and Silas to come and join him. It says, now when Paul waited for them in Athens, his heart was stirred in him when he saw that the city wholly given to idolatry. Now, when it says the heart was stirred within him, it's the Greek word for provoked. That's the way I feel every spring when I look at the new legislation that's being introduced. My heart is provoked. It grieves me. I make a list of bills that I'm going to be watching and I'm going to be working on. And thankfully, by the time you get to this time of the session, usually it's down to 3 or 4 bills. It starts out around 300 or 400 bills. But there's so much that you can do, and I just look at it this way. A number of years ago, I looked and I said, you know what? There's a supermajority of liberal people in the House and the Senate. If I'm going to pin my hopes on passing legislation or stopping legislation, I'll probably be disappointed. My main objective has to be to represent Jesus Christ. The Bible never says that the angels rejoice over one bad bill that is smitten. It never says the angels rejoice over one good bill that is passed, but the angels rejoice over one sinner that repenteth.
Yes. Yes.
And so my goal is, when I'm here, to look for people to share the gospel with. I have Jewish friends who are lobbyists who have come to me and said, Reverend Bob, I don't know how you do it, because And I've talked to them. One of them started reading the Gospel of John. He said he got bored. I challenged him to read the book, read Zechariah chapter 12, and he's not done it yet. I'd like to see him read Zechariah chapter 12 and explain it to him, that they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And my desire is to see people trust Christ. You know, a number of years ago, there was a legislator from Southern Illinois, a Democratic legislator who was very conservative. He was killed in a car crash. And I grieved for a long time about it because I never shared the gospel with him. And so my heart's desire is to look for people to be able to share the gospel with. There are some of the people that you would look at and you look at their voting record, you look at the bills that they sponsor, and you say, these are some of the most vile people. I'm convinced that some of them are like the Apostle Paul. They're kicking against the pricks. They're fighting against God. And that's why they are the way they are. And so God has laid on my heart, especially for some of them, to be praying for them and to be looking for opportunities to share the gospel. As you walk the halls of the Capitol today, keep these things in your mind. Walk through prayerfully. You know, I grew up on a farm in northwest Iowa. I can't believe that God lets me do this. I mean, I'm astounded because I'm just a farm boy. I do tell people in the farming communities that I did learn to lobby when I was 16. Every Saturday, I went and cleaned the neighbor's hog house, and now I walk through the same stuff at the Capitol every week. Well, it's pretty true. Have you looked at the list of legislation? Anyway, but I'm so grateful that God allows me to be able to do this, that God allows me to be able to minister. And, you know, at my age, I'm just grateful to be up and around yet. Amen. And as I know you are, too. Amen. I see you still carry a stick, though. You talk softly and carry a big stick. The key thing really is, love people, minister to them graciously. If you disagree with their bill, you treat them kindly, but you state very clearly how much you disagree with them so that there's no confusion. I ran into somebody that I lobbied with probably 30 years ago. And she was here lobbying for something else in her district. And she said, I never forgot the words you told me. She said, treat the legislators kindly, love them, because it's going to be a lot easier for them to amend their bill if they like you rather than if they are disgusted with you. And so if you create an adversarial relationship, I mean, sometimes it's going to happen. There are some people that just hate the things of God. But there are some people that are out there that you think are the most vile people that are a lot closer to trusting Christ than you may think. Don't ever forget that. You know, the Apostle Paul in Athens went up and God preached on Mars Hill. And as he preached on Mars Hill, as we read about it, there were others that said, well, we'll hear you later. And they put it off. There were others that just walked away and said, But there were a couple of people that became believers. And they're mentioned by name in Acts chapter 17. We're not going to win the majority of people that we share the gospel with. But we're going to win some. How shall they hear without a preacher? And I'm not just talking about me. You're the preachers too. Because we all have that responsibility to represent Jesus Christ wherever we go. Father, thank you for each person that's here today. Help our hearts to be tender toward you and to be provoked by the evil that we're seeing. But Lord, when we're provoked by the evil that we're seeing, help us not to act in anger, but help us do as the Apostle Paul did and look for people to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to be faithful to you. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to go ahead and ask Pastor Thad to come up and to pray. Correct me if I'm wrong. I got Pastor Thad Peacock serves as pastor of Grace Baptist Church here in Springfield. He is committed to faithfully preaching God's word, strengthening the local church, and encouraging believers to live out a biblical worldview in their communities.
It's a blessing to be here this morning. I'm not going to speak long because I'm a pastor. If I start speaking, you won't shut me up. It was earlier this year in February, I believe it was. I've been invited to come down with some other pastors to meet here at the Capitol. We were introduced to some lawmakers that knew Christ as their Savior. And I'll be honest, I've lived in Illinois here for the last 8 years. I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. We were missionaries in the Canadian Arctic, 60 miles south of the Arctic Circle for 5 years. We've seen all kinds of different legislation and a lot of bad legislation. But I came to Illinois because God called us to come here. It was not my choice. By testimony, I've shared it in the church. Of all the states, I did not want to pastor in the states. God had to do a work in my heart. And I said, of all the states, Illinois and California and New York, they were right there at the bottom. It was almost like a Jonah situation. Lord, I don't really want to go. But God has people here that need to trust Christ. And he's called us here. And so I'm thankful for it. When you listen to what the media says about Illinois and you begin to count up how many governors we have in prison and legislators and all that kind of corruption that's taken place, it's hard not to have a fatalistic view of politics here in this state. But I serve a God who's bigger than that. And so I was introduced to some legislators on a cold Tuesday morning in February. And for the first time, I realized there are men and some women here that have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that want to do what's right. And God put a burden in my heart as a pastor. I drive past the Capitol every day between our house and the church. I have an opportunity to be a blessing to the legislators here. I am not a politician. I don't want to be a politician. Lord, please don't make me a politician. I'm much more comfortable in the pulpit. But here's the thing. There are some men and women I've sat at their desks, leadership on both sides of the aisle, sat at their desks and said, how can I pray for you? Amen. It takes down some walls. I'm not here representing a party. I'm here representing the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible. This is the truth that we need. As we look through the scriptures from the beginning to the end, we find a theme running through it, and it ties in this morning. Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 34. The Bible says this: righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The problem we have in Illinois is a sin problem. It's a sin problem. It's not a Democrat problem, Republican problem. It's a sin problem. And the only one who can solve that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so I have a desire, a heart to minister to the legislators here. I'm just getting my feet wet in this and talking with different individuals. But you know what? I have to remember at the end of the day, Jesus Christ is still King of Kings, Lord of Lords. At some point, every knee will bow and confess that he is to the glory of God the Father. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for the truth that we have of his word. You know, you look at this matter of righteousness, and I go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and I'm reminded of Abraham. God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I'm getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham knows, my nephew Lot, his family, they live there. I don't want to see them destroyed. Abraham has a conversation with God. He says, God, if there's 50 people that are left in Sodom and Gomorrah was a wicked place to live. The politics of Sodom and Gomorrah were horrible. In fact, you read the New Testament, Jesus says, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, it's going to be that way before he returns. And if you read the newspaper and you read the Bible, you see them lining up. We're there, some of the policies that we've made. But even in that moment, God said, for 50 righteous, I will spare the cities. Abraham says, what about 45? God says, I'll do it for 45. What about 40? I'll do it for 40. What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? And God says, for 10, I will spare a whole city. I'm thankful to look out this morning and see more than 10 here. God still has, there is still hope for Illinois because of a God who is long-suffering, who's merciful, but he's called his people to pray. The reference was already made to 2 Chronicles, and I don't think God messed up when he put the things in order. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That is what we need. I'm all for being thankful and having a national pride of being an American, but we need to humble ourselves before God. We are independent. We thrive in that. That's our culture. My friend, we never get away from a dependence upon Almighty God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and ask for his help. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you today that there's not a single thing that we can tell you this morning that you don't already know. You're aware of what's going on. We meet here. You're aware of what's going on all over the world, all around the world. You're aware of what's going on in the legislative sessions today. You're aware of the needs even above and beyond any of the knowledge that we have. Lord, we come to you today not to inform you of these things. We come to you today as a reminder of ourselves that we are dependent upon you. We need you to work. You've said in your word that righteousness will exalt a nation. Lord, we desire to see righteousness be put forth. We desire to see a place in a community, a county, a state here, a nation, a world where we can just live peaceably. You've given the job, the opportunity, the responsibility of government to allow us just to live peaceably before you. And so Lord, I thank you that we still have the freedoms today where we can meet together publicly and openly and worship you. And Lord, I think of other countries in the world today where a meeting like this would be unfathomable to publicly meet and pray without being in fear of being arrested or shut down or martyred. And so, Lord, I thank you for the freedom that we have here in America to do this. Lord, I thank you for legislators that have been here, representatives, senators that we've seen this morning boldly take a stand for Christ and to speak of Christ. And I pray that you would strengthen them. Lord, there's a need for you to give them much wisdom and discernment and direction as they look through and they work through these bills that are coming before them. Lord, I pray for a boldness, a spiritual boldness for them. We understand that we're not in a fleshly battle. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, as the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, but it's a spiritual battle. We fight against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Lord, no doubt the devil would desire to take our state into a direction away from God. And Lord, we pray today that you would preserve and that you would continue to show grace and your mercy to our state. Lord, I pray for these politicians that you would raise up many more that would know Christ as their Savior, that would be the foundational anchor for the policy making of the state. And Lord, that we would see righteousness again being exalted. Lord, I pray for all the way through the Capitol building, whether it's a staffer or a representative, a senator, Lord, all the way up through the governor and his staff, Lord, each one of them has a soul that will spend eternity in one of two places. Lord, my desire this morning would be that you would use us, use those that are around these people to get the gospel to these folks before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray that you would open up doors of opportunity for influence to share Christ with these legislators and these senators, these congressmen, these staff members. Lord, may our focus not just be limited to the Capitol building today. Lord, I pray that as we're in the grocery store, you give us a heart for the person we see next to us. As we're out to eat or as we're in a public place there at gas stations, we're interacting with family and friends. Lord, place upon us a burden to get the gospel to the lost. Amen. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity I had to trust Christ as a Savior as an early age. Lord, I pray for some of these. There could be legislators here today that have never had the gospel shared with them. I pray that you'd use us to get the gospel to them, that you would work in their hearts. Lord, that they would trust Christ, they'd know him as their Savior. Lord, that we could truly again, once again, see righteousness exalting our nation, our state, the land where we live here. Lord, use us to that, and we pray and we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm going to ask Reverend Stan to come up now, Stan Pratt. So Stan is the pastor of the Way of Life Church in Taylorville, a longtime Christian leader and speaker. He is committed to prayer. I know this because I pray with him regularly. Proclaiming biblical truth, strengthening the church, and encouraging believers to engage faithfully as citizens of this great state and nation.
Scripture says that in the multitudes of counsel, there's safety. And another verse says in the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom. Scripture says that wisdom and knowledge are the strength of our times, and that it's the strength of our salvation as well. So out of counsel, we have wisdom. And I'm receiving what these men have spoken to us today as a type of counsel. Counsel is a person sharing how they see it, what they do, and we learn to know one another a bit by that. So I'm grateful for the counsel that we have here today. I heard in the beginning, I made a couple of notes. I have them, but I'm not going to use them. They're not to speak off of. The first four or five people that shared a little bit mentioned spiritual warfare.
That's right.
And they mentioned the battle of good and evil. And I recognize that the battle of good and evil, that tree in Genesis chapter 3, was a tree of death. that good and evil can be decided upon by man. And just the issue of good and evil results in spiritual death, if you will. However, there is a tree of life.
Yes.
And those that have accepted Christ, you've bought into or chosen that tree of life. And so the issue here for us as a nation, our president of our nation has authorized that we be one nation under God, given an opportunity for God to move in the land. We have legislatures here that were here today in the state of Illinois. I'm putting it as those who have the rule over us. Civil government has the rule over much of our lives, and they have chosen to allow God to work. Now, the real job, the real process is up to us. It's up to you and I. They're going to do their part. What are we going to do about it? That's where I stand with this. Is how will it be on June 20th? Will it be like it is on May 17th or May 20th? We'll still be saying, God, we're one nation under you. It means that I have to participate in that. You have to participate in that. Father, we've spoken these things. We've heard these things today. I recognize, Lord God, that the issue of life and death is up to me. I realize, Lord God, that it's up to me to humble myself, to recognize Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I recognize, Lord God, that I'm a participant in the body of Christ. These are brothers and sisters in the Lord that we are gathered together here with, Lord God, all across this nation. This happened this weekend and these few days here. So, Father, as we bow before you, as we submit ourselves to you, we take our responsibility, our part, Lord God, and we will stand in righteousness. We recognize that justice is afar off, or righteousness is afar off, and justice is held back, Lord God, because truth has fallen in the street. I pray, Lord God, that I can be among those that would speak truth in the street. That is, wherever I am at, Lord, if it's a coffee table, if it's the church pew, if it's a council meeting, if it's on the street, Lord God, can I speak truth in that spot? I'm asking for the grace to do that. I'm asking for the courage to do that, Lord God. I pray that for each of us, and together we'll see a difference made in our land, because we've opened the door for you to move in our land. We recognize that you move through us, Lord God. You're the great God. You're the mighty God. You're the Holy Spirit. You're the power of God. And you move through human beings, people that are flesh and blood, just like us, Lord God. So may we take our position, our part, and do that today, Lord. I pray that for each of us here. I pray that together we stand. I pray that together we release the light and the life of Christ. I pray that, Lord God, we'll see you move in a greater and greater measure in our culture, across our land, that the light will inhabit, infiltrate, be a part of increasing number of men and women.
Yeah.
Thank you for these legislators that do pray, that do believe you, Lord God. Thank you that they're here to represent us as our representatives, as those that have the rule over us, and we receive them as those that would represent us in the Lord as well, or they're representing you, Lord God, before this state. So thank you for them. Bless them. Encourage them. Thank you for every person that's here today, Lord God. Bless them. May their household be a household of salvation. May every person at their kitchen table know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord God. Would you bless their families, their children, their grandchildren, Lord God, great-grandchildren such as Delbert and I have, Lord God. Bless our extended generations, Lord God. Minister to them. Father, I thank you for the gifting in each person. I pray, Lord God, that each of us live up to what you've placed within us, Lord God, that we allow Christ to be ruler, to be leader in our lives, and that we in turn can reveal you to a lost and dying generation or world. Father, bless what they set their hand to. May the gifting that you have given each of them rise within them, and may we see it and rejoice in it together. Bless each and every one of you today for
joining us in this special episode of Illinois Family Spotlight, which is a production of Illinois Family Action. Our website is ifiaction.org, and it's your central hub to learn biblical perspectives about pending policy, public policy, in Springfield and Washington, D.C. If you've benefited from our work, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining our work by becoming an ongoing monthly sustaining partner to help amplify what we're doing? Until next time, let's abide in Him so that we can produce sweet, abundant fruit that will glorify our Father in heaven.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.